system.
Right? It's nice.
She's so pretty.
There is something about Anne. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from this week's Vanderpump Rules. Now, Anne is going to be working the POS system at something about her. Apparently, she's no longer working at the house for Tom Sandoval, and now she's going to be selling sandwiches at that shop that'll probably never open. But I'm happy for Anne and thrilled that she's going to be serving sandwiches at that restaurant. But honestly, there's no one ever happier than Anne on camera. Have you noticed this? I swear, they must pump Anne full of ketamine or something, or she's on. I don't know what she's on. Allegedly. But I do feel like something's going on when Anne's on screen because she's got that big-ass smile on her face, and I'm happy for her every time I see her because no one's ever looked more joyous than Anne does filming this show. Whether she's in a scene with that demon Tom Sandoval or with Ariana at the sandwich shop, don't fucking matter. She's happy as a clam. She is cleaning up Tom's dirty underwear on the house, and she's still got the smile on her face. And so I just want to salute Anne and thank her for the contributions with the smiley face because she's bringing a lot to the season, and she's doing it with a smile. And so I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, so we got to talk about this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules, and then we're going to talk about the Valley after that. But in terms of Vanderpump Rules, there was something that happened last week that I just need us to go over, and I'm a little worried to say this because I think you guys are going to cancel me. I'm going to get lots of messages. How dare you, Danny? That is so wrong of you to say that. How dare you? Because what I'm about to do is something that I don't even want to do myself. But I feel like it's something we need to discuss, and it kind of came up last week on Vanderpump Rules. But Sheena Shea obviously launched a show with her affair with Eddie Cipriani. And then that came up a couple weeks ago when Tom Sandoval threw it in her face and said, you cheated when you were whatever. You cheated with Eddie Cipriani, you know. And Sheena's like, I was 21! And then she stormed out of that house by the airport. And so I just want to, I hate to do this. I hate to do this, but I want to stick up for Shishi a little bit with just the Eddie Cipriani thing, because I want us to all close our eyes and picture it. Okay, you're a young 21-year-old, a 21-year-old in the early aughts, okay? You just got to Hollywood, Ledoux is thriving, The Hills is on TV, and you're trying to get on reality TV. And you meet a man named Eddie Cipriani. It's a young man, and I don't know if anyone's ever seen pictures of Eddie Cipriani when he was younger, in his 20s and his 30s, or even Eddie Cipriani in the present day is very gorgeous. But think about Eddie Cipriani back in those days. I'm talking about when he was in But I'm a Cheerleader or that NBC show that he was on. Just picture a young Eddie Cipriani. Now, imagine he comes up to you, and he's trying to hook up with you. And you're Sheena Shea, 21 years old, just got here, and you're on a bus to Ledoux, and you see Eddie Cipriani on the side of the road, and he says, oh, want to go get dicked down. Now, who among us wouldn't do that? I'm sorry, but I got to be honest, because I feel like a lot of people out there are just judging the fact that she hooked up with Eddie Cipriani. Now, if we are to believe that it's true that she did not know he was married, that's when I'm excusing it, okay? So I just want to be clear there. I'm not saying that once she knew that he was married to somebody else, she should have kept doing it. So I don't know exactly what the timeline was. I don't remember the specifics. But I just would like to say, who among us, if a young Eddie Cipriani came up to us, who wouldn't have dicked him down? I'm sorry to use that kind of language, but I just feel like a lot of judgy people out there saying, how dare she do that? Now, how dare she do it when she found out that he was married? But if she was a 21-year-old young gal and that man came up to her with the dimples, I'm sorry, who among us wouldn't do that? So I just have to say that. And so we have to give the benefit of the doubt that maybe she did not know that he was married. Did she know that he was married? I'm not excusing infidelity. I just hope you all know that. So no, I'm going to get a lot of DMs now. How dare you, Danny? How dare you say that? Excuse fidelity, infidelity. Just saying, a young Eddie Cipriani. I just rewatched that movie, But I'm a Cheerleader, isn't that? Is that the one I'm thinking of? Yeah, I don't know. He's hot as fuck. And so I just, come on, justice for that. If anything else, I'm sorry. Don't cancel me for it. But we had to be honest. Somebody had to be. And also, by the way, this seems to be now. Of course, she launched the show with that affair. But then now I'm watching the end of this episode, not to skip ahead. But the episode ended with this like very dramatic sunset scene with Tom Sandoval and Sheena Shea. And then last season ended with this dramatic scene between the two of them on our couch in Marina Del Rey or wherever they were. And I just feel like more and more they're leading us to believe that this is Sheena and Tom Sandoval's show. That's really what this is becoming, which is not what I asked for. And I'm not going to defend that when it comes to Sheena. I refuse to defend that. However, I just had to say that. I had to get that off my chest. I feel like I did. Okay, so then let's get back to the episode. Now, we open with LVP shows up to that sandwich shop in a flower bedazzled blazer. And I don't know who bedazzled that, but it was a shocking look. And sometimes when I see LVP on screen, she's got the Vaseline on the lens, and so you can't even tell what's going on. But I saw those flowers that were bedazzled on that blazer. And I'm not sure where she got that, but it was a sight for my eyes. I'm not sure that's a good thing, but it was a sight for certain. It was something that it made me forget everything that was going on screen, and I just laser focused on the blazer. You know, when that dog in Up, when he's like, squirrel, it was like, that's why it was when I saw that bedazzled flower blazer, because I thought I was watching the Brady Bunch movie or something. I was like, what is this blazer? This dark blazer with the bedazzled flowers on it. It's just, I couldn't concentrate on anything else going on in this scene. But she says, she's like, what's going on with the date for this sandwich shop? What's going on with Chef Penny? Now there's all these problems with this Penny woman, who apparently was she on other Food Network shows, or she was on TV before. I don't know, I read that. And now she's on Cameo. I saw her on Cameo.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's this ad on Cameo where it's the Penny is like, yeah, I'm on Vanderpump Rules this season. And I was like, are you really on it? I mean, like, God bless. I mean, everyone's got to make a buck. But I just think it's like you're kind of in the background a couple times, 1 or 2 weeks. Like, I don't know that you're really like the star of Vanderpump Rules. But I guess whatever makes you get a cameo, I don't know. I just, something about Penny makes me a little uneasy. But we wish her the best. And it's all alleged because I don't want Chef Penny coming after me. I think they maybe are having some legal issues with who owns the place or who's name in the place. And LVP's got a relationship with Penny, but then the gals, Katie and Ariana, aren't talking to her because they don't want Penny as a partner. Now, they say Penny's salary, she's salaried plus 10% of the profits from the location. And look, 10% of the profits of nothing is nothing, because this sandwich shop still isn't open. And Ariana says something special. If one more person asks me one goddamn time about when this sandwich shop is opening, because they don't have a date, and they might never have a date. They might never have a date.
Savings!
But, you know, so be it. They're making sandwiches nonetheless, and they're trying to kick Penny out of this place. And so Penny might be making sandwiches at some other shop over in West Hollywood, because she's no longer involved, it seems. It seems, but LVP just wants to, she just wants to give him some advice. And I don't know, she even says, I think it will never open. And she's very pro-Penny, which is going to cause some problems with this group. It's going to cause some problems. Now, then we cut to Kyle Chan with some Twinks and Sheena. Now, someone named Pete from TikTok is in this scene. And I was like, am I watching a different show? I thought I was maybe watching Freeform or some shit like that. Because I was like, I don't recognize any of these TikTokers. I think one of them had said TikTok, or maybe Matt was watching with me. And he's like, oh, that guy's on TikTok. I don't know. There was like one guy named Pete with two E's that was on TikTok. And I was like, who the fuck is that? Am I watching the same network? Is this Bravo? But apparently it was Bravo. And Sandoval shows up. And apparently Sheena's going to be performing at Kyle Chan's San Francisco jewelry opening or whatever it is going on in San Francisco. And Kyle Chan says to Shishi, he says, I was thinking since Tom did 30 shows already, he knows what we need at an event. So this is the producer's way of forcing Tom Sandoval to work with Shishi. Now, this is way too produced. And also, are we assigning Tom as a tour manager of an event now? Like, what does Tom Sandoval know about tour managing? He had to hire all those people to go out on tour with him. So it's like, I don't know that he's someone we need doing sound mixing or sound engineering. Am I wrong? Like, I thought that was a bridge too far, producers. You could have found another way to get Shishi and Tom in a room together. We didn't need to pretend that Tom is going to be helping out with the live performance, because I don't believe that he's gotten the live performances that he's touring with figured out quite yet. Because we saw some of the footage of him rehearsing with James, showed up to that rehearsal space. And Tom, it don't seem like he's got a real grip on the microphone either. So I'm not sure that we need to be hiring him to do audio technician work or tour managing for Shishi Shay to do one song, Apples. Or I think Kyle Chan, this was so funny. He's like, okay, so at the event, Sheena, like, you'll be the only performer. And I thought you'd start off with Apples and then do your other one. I was like, oh, is that the order for Shishi's two songs? Like, what? That's how we're going to do her two songs. So we'll do Apples first, and then we'll do Good as Gold. But come on, there's no way that we're hiring or we're having Tom fix anything with the stage. Or Tom has a tour manager. So like, if anything else, what they should have done was say, Kyle should have told Sheena, like, we're going to hire Tom's tour manager. We're going to hire someone Tom uses to do all the microphone. Because then even later in the episode, Tom was like, oh, we're going to get you. Oh, yeah, man, we're going to get you a microphone. Yeah, oh, I'm going to have my sound guy come in. I'm going to get you a microphone. And Sheena's like, okay, I've never done a sound check before, you know? And I was thinking, actually, it should be somebody else explaining this to Sheena, who actually knows more about sound audio technician than Tom Sandoval. Obviously, he's got a sound guy. So if he's got a sound guy, that's who should be doing this, Kyle Chan and producers. But I mean, you're going to try to bamboozle me, I suppose.
It's the greatest bamboozlement I've ever accomplished.
I guess whatever helps you in your quest to make Tom Sandoval lead character of the show again, I guess that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do, even if it comes at the authenticity of the show, because there's no way I'm believing that bullshit that Tom all of a sudden is needed for Sheena Shea's soundcheck. I'm sorry. Anyway, Tom eventually cries over his jeweler in the confessional because Kyle Chan did not abandon him. And so they are friends, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy that Kyle Chan could be there for him in his time of need. And then Tom apologizes to Shishi, and Sheena again says that thing about Tom taking a picture with her at Upfronts, which I'm glad that he took that picture with her at Upfronts. I mean, I'm really glad that Tom took that picture with Sheena at Upfronts. Or actually, I think what happened was at Upfronts, the first season of this show, the group was trying to phase out Shishi, and then Tom Sandoval on the red carpet was like, no, Sheena, come take a photo with us. And so that's why Sheena's excusing all of his bad behavior, because one time about 10 years ago, he took a photo with her on a red carpet. When you really spell it out, it's crazy as shit. But anyway, that's what Sheena's saying is why she's bridging the gap with her and Tom Sandoval. And then let's see what else is happening. Oh, Sheena said she almost didn't release her song Apples because it wasn't even supposed to be about her. But then she added the verse about him. It wasn't supposed to be about Tom. And then she added that verse about him. But I was like, actually, it seems like it was always supposed to be about Tom, right? I mean, I don't know that song. It's like A-P-P-L-E-S. Doesn't she spell the word apples? Which actually, she's on trend for that. She's on trend if this was 2011, because I remember back in the day, or maybe 2000, maybe six, when all the gals were spelling words. Remember B-A-N-A-N-A-S or Glamorous, G-L-A-M-O-R-O-U-S? They were all spelling out words. Fergie, Gwen Stefani, and Shishi all got to spell out their lyrics. And sometimes, you know, you got to spell out things in order to understand how to pronounce. And so I'm not sure that she was actually supposed to spell out the word apples, or if she got in that recording booth and she was just trying to phonetically say it out loud. And she's like, hey, peep, how does this work? And then just ended up recording it and made it a hit. And by hit, I mean something that not many people have listened to, but we're going to be forced to at the finale of this season. Anyway, moving on. Then Kyle does say not to torture Tom. And she says, look, she doesn't hate Tom. She misses him. And they just want to move forward and not talk about the past. So that's where they sort of end it. Then we have this scene with Lala and Katie. Now, it's Lala's birthday. Lala says she needs to call up Tom Sandoval and let him know that he's not invited, which is a crazy thing to do when you really think about it. It's a crazy thing to do, just say, you're not invited to my party. And actually, you guys, I'm rewatching old Real Houses of Orange County, which is the best thing ever. I started with season 9, and now I'm on season 10. Like, the golden years of the Real Houses of Orange County. Shannon Bedore, when she arrives on scene, season 9, I mean, she's never had a hinge season, Shannon Bedore. She's never once been hinged on the show. Like, ever since she first sat on screen, she's been completely unhinged. And it's fascinating to watch, but I even got Matt to start watching. But in season 10, Megan King Edmonds comes on the scene, and Shannon Bedore gets mad at Megan King Edmonds because she didn't call to say she wasn't invited to a party, which is like the craziest thing. But then I'm watching Vanderpump Rules, and Lala actually does call Tom to say, hey, you're not invited to this party. And Tom's like, well, happy birthday anyway. Anyway, Lala has the birthday party. Her and Katie arrive together, both looking so hot, so hot. Did you see Katie at that wedding? She was at like the Nick Vile guy's wedding. And I saw a picture, and she's on it. I don't know what the stylist, what's going on, but I feel like Katie's never looked hotter than that wedding photo. I mean, wow. Wow. Wow, Katie, wow. Okay. So then at Lala's birthday party, there's some dancers around. They got the boobies with the tassels out, and they're all just doing the burlesque dancing, which I've never really quite understood burlesque dancing. I mean, outside of the movie Burlesque, which of course is a cinematic classic. I watch it every time I see it on television. Wagon wheel Watusi. But the movie Burlesque is just a more scripted take. And when I see it on the reality shows, I'm like, I don't know that I really get burlesque. Anyway, Brock and the guys were like, check out these girls with the bubbies and the tassels. And all the boys are watching the dancers with the tassels over the bubbies. And Brock's checking out the one. He says in his confessional that he actually has a Mormon boy inside of him. Meaning that he was raised Mormon, and so he's always thinking about that whenever he sees the gals dancing with the tassels over the bubbies. And so he's trying to keep a laser vision on his wife, Shishi. And we do know that they're already having troubles because Shishi's feeling like maybe Brock and Lala have a situation. She's feeling insecure after what happened with Scandoval. And so it's a fascinating thing happening. But Sheena explains at this event that Tom is going to be helping her with her performance, aka the producers are forcing them to do these scenes together and make it seem like Tom has some sort of technical insight knowledge to help Shishi with her performance of APPLES in San Francisco. I did love how Brock was like so excited to go to San Francisco. Sheena was like, have you ever had rice-a-roni? And he's like, what? No! Like, he was so excited about everything San Francisco. He kept calling it, like, the great city of San Francisco. And he was just excited. And I appreciated that. I appreciate that. Then we have Shishi and Brock getting ready for San Francisco. We have a date. Oh my God, we finally meet Dan. We finally meet Dan.
I like dick.
That's right. Ariana's on a date with a new boyfriend. Now, I like his shirt. I find him hot. And I do believe that he'll have one of those Brock glow-ups with the hair. Because he's got the really long hair, which nothing wrong with that really long hair. But I do feel like one of these days he's going to get, like, maybe next season or the season after, he's going to get that Brock glow-up. Remember when Brock cut the hair? And we were all like, what the fuck? Like, all of us had never really looked at Brock. I mean, I always found Brock very attractive. But I think once he cut that hair, we were all like, what? Who's that? Who is that on this show now? And I feel like that's going to happen with Dan. I don't know. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. But Brock is planning this roaring 20s party, and Dan's going to be headed to San Francisco. Now, producers obviously made Dan go to San Francisco, right? Like, I don't think Ariana would be bringing this guy around so early in the relationship if producers and the network didn't say, like, hey, by the way, like, if you're dating this guy, the season's a flop. We need some things to spice it up. You got to show it on camera. And so I think that's why he came to San Francisco. And Lalo said in the confessional, like, why would this guy be around? It's been so short to since the scandal happened and whatever she said in the confessional. And I thought, I feel like it's kind of forced, or I don't know. Maybe not forced. Obviously, they can't force that. I don't think I would have done it, though. I would have just been like, no, I'm not. I'm keeping that off camera after the scandal thing. Because I feel like she probably would have had all the bargaining power after the scandal, right? I don't know. Okay, so then let's see. We got Tom's show. We see, Terry, his mom was there. Tom's mom, Terry, which, by the way, love her. Love a mom named Terry. You know, I love Katie's mom named Terry. And I actually met Tom Sandoval's mom named Terry. And she's like incredible woman. She was like one of the first female firefighters or something in St. Louis. Like, I learned a lot about her doing that book with them. And I think she's so sweet, so badass. And I would have liked to hear from her about her thoughts on the scandal. And it's like, if they want to rehab Tom Sandoval's image, which it seems like what that show is kind of trying to do, right? Like, they're trying to kind of rehabilitate his image. And it would have been so much easier than setting up this fake thing with Sheena Shea having to hire him as the audio technician or whatever the fuck that is. And instead, just like mic up Tom's mom. She's like an incredible woman. And that, I feel like, would have shown, given him so much more sympathy than anything else. But I don't know. I'm not producing this show. But she is a badass. And I'm sure she's disappointed in the son, too, by all the demon work that he did. I'm sure she's like, what the fuck were you doing? She probably hated him when he did all that. Although, wait a minute. Wasn't there something where, like, Rachel, like, visited Tom, his parents? So actually, were they in cahoots, too? I don't know. They should have mic'd her up and like given us all this information. I had set me down with her so I could interview her because I feel like I got all these questions. Wasn't there rumors that he visited St. Louis with Rachel while he was still with Ariana, maybe while Ariana's at the funeral of her grandmother or something? I feel like Tom did that kind of stuff. And so maybe she was in cahoots. Maybe she was in cahoots. We got to put out that fire. And you got to put out that fire by sitting me down with her so I can answer these questions because I feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions with Tom's mom. That's right. That's right. Also, I just heard this thing that Rachel's now dating this new man. I saw pictures of him online. He looked hot, but I was like, is she dating him? What's going on? And there's all this lawsuit stuff too with Tom and Ariana and Rachel. I tried to look into it. Like, I saw there was like a filing, but then it really stressed me out. So I was like, I can't do this legal stuff. And I moved on and I probably went and I don't know, watched an old episode of Three Houses of Orange County. Like, that's where my brain is these days. Like, I can't read things. I just have to watch old episodes of The Real Housewives. Anyway, then we have the scene. Okay, so outside of Tom Sandoval's show, which, by the way, at that show, I just want to point out, I think they added applause. I think they added, like, Foley art or applause sounds because it sounded like, if you go back and watch that scene at the end of it when they were closing out of Tom's set and he was on stage performing, I swear they added just, like, sound effects of clapping. They added sound effects clapping. I was like, we do not need to do that. We do not need to add claps to his thing. Anyway, the most shocking scene of the episode came next. And this was actually outside of the venue. We have Joe and Schwartz. Joe and Schwartz. That's right. Joe and Schwartz are standing outside the venue and they talk about how awkward they are before going into these character voices and movements. And they were doing like improvised top hat and cane work. It was like Mr. Peanut and Michigan J. Frog hanging out. Like I thought Joe was going to introduce a new episode of Dawson's Creek, but instead they like did this dance and agreed to marry in 8 years. And by the way, if these two do wed in 8 years, I think they would accidentally burn their house down doing the robot over a lavender anthropology candle. And like when the authorities would come to find out what happened, they would just talk in these baby voices and then hopefully be locked up. You know, that's my hope for the future. But anyway, moving on. It was the craziest scene. Craziest scene. Then we have the group leaving at the San Francisco airport. We're finally seeing planes that aren't at James's house.
Saving!
And then Lala points, this is where Lala points out that it's weird for Dan to be with Ariana. I know it's weird for all of you to be hanging out, isn't it? Like, I think it's weird that you're all sitting and going to the airport together. I mean, Tom and Ariana going to a trip together is also fucking crazy, but we're watching a TV show. So that's what I think on that. Then we have San Francisco. Brock is organizing everything. Somehow producers are like, okay, Brock, you organize the finale. Just crazy. Like, Brock, you produce the finale. And so Brock decided to do a 1920s theme party. This is
not a ride. Rotten Hill.
That's right. We're doing another 1920s party. At least we're not watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because they go to a 1920s party every fucking year. I got to see them in flapper outfits every time I turn on the TV for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. There's these rumors, too, that Dorit might be downgraded to a friend of. She doesn't talk about her marriage falling apart to PK. PK! And look, I don't think Dorit's going to talk about the marriage to PK. And if she's not going to talk about the marriage to PK, then we need to get rid of her. I'm sorry, but if she don't want to talk about what's going on with the marriage... I mean, the Beverly Hills women need to open up or get on out. Get on out and get away from that red light because it seems like they're trying to be too controlling. Me rewatching these old episodes of The Real Housewives of Orange County and seeing the way that people like Shannon Bador are putting their messy lives right on screen. I mean, Shannon Bador was literally going through her divorce on camera, like in real time. It didn't ever feel like Shannon Bador was just like in a scene that was forced by production or something, and she was forced to talk about it. Like, it felt like she went to dinner with David Bador, and I hate to even say his name, but it felt like she would go to dinner with him, and she'd be like, oh, we're fucking getting a divorce. And then she'd, like, storm out of the restaurant, and it was like, this is raw, real, and honest. And then I turn on Vanderpump Rules, and I'm like, this does not feel raw, real, and honest. Maybe we need to get Shannon Bador over there, sir, and put her in a surdress, because if not... I don't know. Or Beverly Hills Housewives, we need to get Shannon Bador over there. Just, we need to get some real authentic people. And Dorit, if you're not interested in opening up in the way that Shannon Bador did season 9, 10, and beyond of The Real Housewives of Orange County, then I'm not interested in miking you up. I'm sorry. I know I love Dorit, and when Dorit's good, she's the best. And so my only hope is that she listens to what everybody's saying, and it's like, okay, go full throttle. And I think being honest and open in that way does make audiences like them more, right? I don't know. That's how I feel. Anyway, then we have Lala's wearing Send It to Daryl pants.
Saving!
I've had enough of that. It feels like... Does it feel like she ordered everything that you can possibly buy in terms of merch and wrote Send It to Daryl on it? I feel like we got pants, sweatpants, we got t-shirts, we got hats, we got coffee mugs. I'm like, wait, in what world are... What is happening? I feel like every single item you could possibly think of, she just thought to put Send It to Daryl on there, and she's selling them on the website. And every time I watch this show, I see a new scene of Lala, and she's got something new that says Send It to Daryl. She just ordered everything. It was like, get me one of everything and have it say Send It to Daryl. I'm tired of sending it to Daryl. The pants and everything. Anyway, the rooms are huge here. I'm really happy about that. Schwartz, when he heads on over to Tom Sandoval's room in San Francisco, he does give a little beep beep when he opens the door, like he was the Roadrunner in the Wile E. Coyote commercial or the sketch from the Looney Tunes. He's like, beep beep. they need to arrest him for that. Lock him up. I mean, he's always doing that baby voice. Normally he's doing it with Joe or Katie, but then when I see him doing it with Tom Sandoval too, he's like, beep, 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 beep. And then Tom Sandoval's, oh yeah, man, come in my room, man. I gotta go help Shishi with her sound check. Oh yeah, man. Beep, beep. And it's like, what is happening? If you threw Joe into a scene with just Tom and Tom, I mean, we would need subtitles. Somebody needed to caption that. And I do not envy the person who would have to caption that because it would just be a bunch of fucking robot baby voices. No one knew what anyone was saying. I mean, honestly, Tom Schwartz needs to stop doing that baby voice. I say it every week, but when I heard that beep, 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 oh, beep, beep, baba, baba, beep, 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 baba, beep, 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 beep. Tom, are you in here? Beep, beep. Oh, yeah, man, come in. Beep, beep. Oh, yeah, man. And then, Ah, those two. Then we have Pier 39. I liked Sandoval's sweater vest in this scene. I liked. Schwartz is in shorts, though, and it's cold. And then he did say he thinks he can escape from Alcatraz. And I'm not sure I believe that. Do we think that Tom Schwartz could escape from Alcatraz? I don't even know that I trust Tom Schwartz to make me breakfast. I don't even think he could cook me up a pancake, let alone escape Alcatraz. And so I don't know that he should be shouting on TV that he can get out of Alcatraz, because there's certainly no way. He could barely get out of that marriage to Katie. She had to be the one to run. And so the fact that he thinks he could get out of Alcatraz, I'm like, you need to understand yourself better. Maybe look in the mirror and hop on over to a therapy session, because he thought he could escape from Alcatraz. He could barely escape from the marriage with Katie after it was on the rocks. And so I did not trust that man to escape from Alcatraz, the prison. But they should lock him up. Okay, so then Sandoval is also in that aloe hat. Ugh. Then Schwartz says he does want to commit to moving into Sandy's. And so he gets on a knee to propose to this person. And all I could think about was that house will smell so bad if Tom Schwartz moves into that house with Tom Sandoval. The two of those two, them living together. I mean, Schwartz is always shoeless, and he's got also all them reptiles that he's got at the house. And then I don't feel like he knows how to bathe exactly. And then we also learn that Tom Sandoval's got the dirty undies, and he's always got Anne had to clean up the underwear, but now Anne's at the sandwich shop. So I don't think that his other new assistant, Craig, the hot guy with the tattoos, is going to be cleaning up Tom Sandoval's dirty ass underwear. And so who's going to be cleaning up? It's just me sitting on the floor. And then I feel like Tom Schwartz is going to see Tom Sandoval's dirty ass underwear on the floor, and he's going to be like, oh, I could do that too. Oh, no. I could do that too, Baba. I'm going to put my dirty underwear on the floor too, Baba. I'm going to put it on. Oh, yeah, man. Just put your dirty underwear on the floor. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, we're just going to put it anywhere. Ah! I mean, that house. I mean, you're going to need a few extra Anthropology candles in that house. I mean, I said I didn't want Schwartz living with Joe because it set a house fire with the Anthropology candle, but we need to get some of them candles and put them into this house if Schwartz and Sandy are going to live there, because it's going to smell like ass. It's going to smell like absolute open ass. Sorry to say that, open ass. I don't think I've ever used the term phrase open ass on this podcast before, but it's going to smell like open ass. Open ass. I had a smoothie before I recorded. I didn't have the Diet Coke today. I had a smoothie, fruit smoothie. Love it. Okay, so then we have this boat called Wine Therapy, which the weather was bad, and I was very excited because, you know, on the Bravo network, when there's bad weather and they put them on a boat, usually that's a case for magic. That's a recipe for magic, because, of course, we all remember the Real Houses of New York City when they were in Cartagena and they went on that boat ride from hell and they didn't have enough life jackets. And then on Bethany Ever After, remember when she got stuck at sea with the therapist, Dr. Amador? I mean, that terrible marriage was just stuck out at sea. They didn't even have Bryn. It was just Jason. I don't even think Bryn was on that boat. It was just like Jason and Bethany stuck on a boat with Dr. Amador, and they didn't know. It was like high seas. They went on a therapy boat ride. You got to watch that show if you never watch it. Bethany's spinoff show. It's fucking crazy. Anyway, they got stuck at sea. So I get excited when I see bad weather and them getting on a boat. That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought, oh, we're in for something good. And if I was on a boat like that, I'd immediately grab the life jacket. Because remember that Cartagena trip? They didn't have enough life jackets. That was like the whole thing. Wasn't there like a lawsuit or something? They tried to keep this under wraps, but I think that was like a complaint from the housewives, was that they didn't provide enough life jackets or something, allegedly, on that boat. And so that'd be the first thing I'd do if I was Brock, if I was Allie. I'd be like, fuck these guys. I'm going to get that life jacket, because haven't been on the show long enough. And so Joe, I don't know who was on that boat. Some of the new cast members, they should have ran for that life jacket, because you just never know. Although I bet Allie must have known, because she probably saw it in the cards, you know? She probably saw it in the stars, because she's an astrologer. So, I mean, I know that doesn't mean you could predict the future, but I do sort of think that, like, Allie might have had, like, a fifth or sixth sense about that, you know? She probably knew. If you're looking for girls, girl, I'm right here for my girls, girl. So she didn't have to grab the life jacket, but Brock should have been heading on over to that life jacket. I mean, he had to save himself so that he could get to that 1920 party and get some Rice-A-Roni for the first time. So I wish he would have done that, but the boat... I don't know. The boat didn't even tip over or nothing. It didn't even do nothing. I was kind of disappointed in that boat. Is that wrong? Is that something sick about me that, like, I really wanted the boat to tip or topple? I kind of did. I mean, just a couple of them. Just some, I don't know. Maybe not topple over, but I would have liked if, like, maybe some drinks spilled and somebody puked off the side or something. Just like a little danger. What happened to the little danger? What happened to a little danger? A little dramatic tension on our shows. I think that's a fine thing, to put a little dramatic. I'm not saying to kill any of them. I'm just thinking maybe we can, like, or couldn't we have done some sort of special effects thing, maybe gotten some PAs with a boat outside the big boat and had them, like, shaking the big boat so that it could scare them a little bit more? I don't know, something. Or pump something in the water. Or maybe some people escaping from Alcatraz, maybe we could have had them shake the boat. Could you imagine some ex-cons or some people who are literally in prison at Alcatraz? Remember, imagine them shaking the boat filled with a Vanderbilt Rules cast. I mean, I would have watched that till the cows come home. I mean, that would have been recorded on the DVR. That would have been some good TV, but nothing like that happens. Nothing like that happens. Then we have Brock checking in on Ariana. And remember that scene on the beach where Ariana was confronted by Brock, and Brock's like, was saying like, oh, you gotta interact with Tom or something. I kind of took that because Ariana didn't seem that mad at Brock specifically. And I took that scene at the beach, like producers made that happen. Like producers told one of them, they were like, somebody's got to bring up this conversation. I feel like Brock did. Cause it seemed like Ariana didn't get that mad at Brock specifically. And he was the one that kind of brought up those beach conversations. And now that I see him in the scene again with her and he's having a kind of similar conversation and he's checking up on her, I think that producers were like, okay, Brock, maybe you'll be the one to ask her about this stuff. But Ariana says, look, she cares about Sheena and she doesn't think that she should be friends with Tom. And I completely agree with Ariana. Like, in what world should she want to be friends with Tom Sandoval? Like, I don't know that he's done enough besides take that one picture on the red carpet 100 years ago that should make you want to salvage this friendship so much, other than the fact that they're on a TV show together. So that's the thing that I guess they're not saying. And then Ariana says, look, I just got to cut him off. Like, she talks about the outdated therapy speak of like having to make things work or something. And she says, no, we got to go on no contact. That's the only way. And I agree with that. But also the no contact thing is seemingly impossible when you're on a reality show together. So I don't know how that's going to work going forward. But I agree with Ariana what she was saying. And she also talks about rage. And she's like, the men get to be rageful all the time. But the minute the women on the show are rageful, they're pointed and they're looking horrible on the show. And so I agreed with her. Then we have a scene with Schwartz putting champagne on the oysters. Anyway, then we have Ariana in the room with Dan. Lala shows up. He's got the hair out. He's just got out of the shower and he's got his blouse off, you guys. He's got his blouse off. Woo! He looked good. He looked really good. When I saw him just sitting there in the towel with the long ass hair, I was so turned on, you guys. And even Lala was. She's like, oh, Dan. She's like, whoa. I don't know what she said exactly, but she said, whoa, it was spiritually, like she said, whoa, like she was Joey Lawrence in the sitcom Blossom. He's, whoa, whoa. Remember that? You guys, I love the Lawrence Brothers podcast. I don't listen to many podcasts, you know, because I try to stay away from all the Bravo stuff because I don't want to repeat anything that anyone else is doing. But I do listen to the Lawrence Brothers podcast and I love them. I love my boys. They're three Italian boys I think they're from the Midwest. I feel like spiritually like they're from the Midwest. And I've always liked the Lawrence Brothers, and I'm sorry to go on this tangent, but I do love the Lawrence Brothers. And so we need to get them on Everything Iconic eventually. But I do something about them. I feel, I don't know. You can feel it all sort of turning on Ariana. Like it's palpable and I don't like it. I don't like it. Then we cut to the Roaring Twenties party. Now James does show up looking like a paper boy. They point that out. And he does look like Paperboy. And then Tom and Ariana wearing the same shoes. I mean, all of these outfits are crazy. All of these outfits are crazy.
Stupid looking hat.
Schwartz and Katie and Ariana, they all go off and have this little scene, which I like. Tom Schwartz says, oh, we're all friends now. We're all friends now. I like that. We're all friends now. And Ariana's like, are we? But they seem to be getting along better. At least Ariana seems to have bridged the gap with Tom Schwartz. She's not so mad at Tom Schwartz anymore. She's really mad at the other one. Even though Tom Schwartz was in cahoots. I think we all forget that. Like, Tom Schwartz was all in cahoots with Tom Sandoval. So he was the one trying to cover it on television for all of last season. Like, he knew the affair was happening, and then he was trying to cover for it. So I think that she does still have a right to be mad at Tom Schwartz, but it seems like they made up, which is good. And then Shishi and Sandoval have this scene in the sunset, and Tom says, can we talk about some stuff for tomorrow? And I was like, what do you need to talk about for tomorrow? Like, this fake sound check that you're doing? Like, what? All a bunch of bullshit. Bunch of bag of bullshit. And then Sheena's like, well, I've never had to do a sound check or rehearse for a show before. I was like, Sheena, I feel like she's performed before and she's never once done a sound check. I mean, a sound check is basically just like going to the stage and talking on the microphone for 10 seconds. Like, they make you count down from 10. It's not like it's this extensive thing, but it's just to make sure that the levels are good. I mean, it maybe takes a couple minutes, 5 minutes sometimes. I mean, maybe if there's more extensive work to do, and of course singing, I'm judging based off like live stand-up or stage and theater. But when it comes to singing, I still feel like it doesn't take that long. Like, you just gotta go talk to the microphone. But Sandoval's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna bring one of those microphones. I'm gonna bring my sound guy. And he says he's going to bring the sound guy with like the microphone that it like fixes your voice in real time. So I was excited about that. And I think all the audio people on Vanderpump Rules were excited about that too, because they knew they wouldn't have to edit with Sheena's real voice. You know what I'm saying? They had to work with that footage of Tom Sandoval. They knew they didn't want to have to work with footage of Sheena Shea singing right into that microphone with the real voice, regular voice. They were like, we need to decode that, or we need something. We need a voice. What's it called? To fix your voice. They need to fix that voice in real time because they couldn't do it. Those people have been through hell and back. I mean, they've had to edit through and sift through so much footage. Those Bravo editors at Vanderpump Rules, I can only imagine all the footage they've had to sift through of Tom Sandoval and the most extras on tour and in rehearsal and all that stuff. And I mean, the things that those men have heard, I mean, I feel bad for their ears. And so justice for the editors' ears, because I can't even imagine the footage that they've had to sift through in audio edit. And so we're going to have to just give them a Nobel Honor of Peace Prize because they've really been doing it. Then the end of this episode, we have Tom admitting in his confessional that he screwed up and that Sheena and Tom have this dramatic hug in the wind and they say, I love you to each other. And there's tears over the skyline and their 1920s clothes. And it feels very Hills-like. Didn't it feel very Hills-like? And I don't know, the cinematography, everything. And next week, I don't know, is the finale next week? I didn't see a trailer on my copy of the episode, so I don't know what happened at the end. Or I don't know what happens next week, but we're going to have to wait and see. Go to bravotv.com for more information. I think that's the end of the episode. We're going to get into the Valley recap. We have a special guest joining us for the Valley recap. We have Janet Caperna, one of the cast members on the Valley. And so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with Janet from the Valley. You can find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can go to everythingiconic.store and get copies of my books if you want them signed, or my books are available at Target or any of the websites where you buy books. And we'll be right back with Janet. All right, I'm sure a lot of you out there can relate, because every time there's a commercial break and I'm watching one of my shows, I'm always hopping on the Redfin app or website because I just want to check out real estate listings. Like, I love checking out real estate listings, even for the houses that I cannot afford. It's my favorite app to use, Redfin. I just got a home, of course, but it was a pretty stressful process. And if I would have known how easy Redfin was, I think it would have helped out a lot. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. See something you like? Well, book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process, making it so easy. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents with a listing fee as low as 1%. Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. Now that's a great thing. I love using Redfin. I love checking out. If you're buying or selling a home and you need some help with that, check out Redfin. Download the Redfin app to get started. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. I'm here with Janet from the Valley. Janet,
I'm so excited to be here. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you. Now, we know each other a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's okay that I say this, but you used to be a celebrity assistant.
Yes.
And I mentioned this on the show briefly, but you were responsible for getting Cameron Diaz on Everything.
I did. I wasn't sure if you were going to give me a little hat tip for that one. Yeah, I used to work for Aveline, which is Cameron Diaz and Catherine Powers' wine brand, still the only wine I drink, and I always have to give them a shout out. I can't stop selling it, you
it's
know?
Good, though.
But yeah, I worked, and then when it was like 6 years ago when I was co-hosting Sheena's podcast, and you were the first guest that I co-hosted with.
Okay, tell me if you remember this. Do you remember Erica sort of like yelling at me? She like sort of yelled at me like after the taping of that. I was like scared shitless because I think I had just started my podcast.
Yeah.
It was pretty fairly new. And yeah, Erica was like, don't talk about my daughter. Said something like that.
Oh,
I don't
like,
remember
don't
if there
be
was like a finger raving, but she, yeah, she gave me the business.
That's how,
which I appreciate
right.
A mom should do that. I think, for the daughter. But yeah, it made me a little scared. But yeah, that
Erica.
Was the first time we met. And I liked you because you said you were from Ohio.
Yep.
Love an Ohio girl. Which is also why I'm rooting for Allie on Vanderpump Rules. Like, I got to root for the Ohio gals.
Yeah. And then, so I remembered you. I adored you the first time we met. And then when we were starting to do podcasts and stuff we were looking at Aveline to start plugging Cameron and Catherine into some podcast stuff, I was like, you guys should check out this one. And Catherine Power was like, I'm already a fan. I love him. And I think Cameron was like, well, if you love him and you're a fan, I'll do it. And I was like, oh my gosh. So they were on and it was awesome.
Okay. So you go from that to getting pregnant and then getting on this show, which the show is batshit crazy in the best of ways. Like, I'm
totally
loving it. But what has that shift been like?
Honestly, it was kind of crazy. It just kind of all happened. I kind of trust in the universe and like just kind of letting things happen. And I'm like, everything ends up kind of okay always. So it was, I had left Aveline after a while. My role just kind of shifted there. It was on great terms and I still love everybody over there. But I started with somebody new that I didn't love in the celebrity world who I would, be sued up and down if I said their
name.
You'll
tell me later.
I'll tell you later. Okay. And it wasn't a good match. And I was like, I was like really bummed because you have to have a personality match. And you have to really like working for the person. I was like, I'm not going to do good at this job because I don't like you. And so I was like, I'm going to leave this job. And then right after I left the job, Scandoball happened. I was over like helping Ariana, with everything. Actually, just making sure she was eating was like my main goal then. And I conceived our child the night that's like everything broke with Scandoval.
Wait, were you guys just so horned up by everything
this
that you're like,
funny
okay?
Thing. Like, I was ovulating and I left. Let's just jump right into it. So I was at Ariana's. It was like, it was honestly like a funeral. Like everybody was over there just making sure she was okay. It was right after everything kind of broke. And I made her French onion soup. And then I was like, I looked at my ovulation calendar. I was like, oh shit, I'm ovulating. I was like, I have to go have sex. I'm sorry. I can't stay any longer. I left. I got home to Jason and I was like, we have to have sex. And he's like, are you sure you want to? And I was like, yeah, I don't want to like miss the window this month. Like, let's just, let's get it over with. Let's do this.
Janet, that is so dark sided.
It was honestly, it was like the saddest
you
sex
had a Scandoval
ever.
Baby. Now I'm like totally blown away by this.
Ariana's like, well, at least something good came out of that. I'm like, yeah. Sure. And I'm like, if I wouldn't have been over at her house all day and had sex in that exact window, maybe I wouldn't have gotten the exact baby I got.
Oh,
so I don't know. It was this whole strange, weird thing.
Well, what's weird about all of you guys, though, is that you are all close. Because
like
you said, I met you through Sheena, but then even you and Jason had come to like my last show here in LA right before Scandoval broke. You were with Ariana and Tom.
Yeah.
The four of you were there together.
Yep,
and
sure
I remember during the show, at live show, asking you guys about Katie and Schwartz or something. Because like that stuff was breaking.
Yeah. It was like when Raquel was supposedly, it was like rumors were spreading that they were doing whatever.
Yeah, it was like Schwartz and Raquel had these rumors. And I remember calling out to the audience and you guys said like, oh, not the Tom and Ariana, I think, kind of like waved it off.
Yeah.
And then like now come to find out he had been having that affair that whole time.
It's so weird. There's a lot of moments I think back to when we were together with them or with all three of them, with Raquel too. I forgot about the show that I was thinking that it was Logan and Ariana that was with us, but it was Tom and Ariana.
Yeah, I think
it was
four of you guys.
Yeah. And that's another time I look back and I'm like, I cannot believe that they were doing that. Like
crazy.
And we were right. I don't know.
Okay. Crazy. Wait, how's Jason liking the show? Because I think we're all thirsting after Jason.
Oh my God.
Like I can speak
I love
for myself.
That.
Yeah. He's like very hot and he seems like very nice on the show. And he's every time he's talking on the show, I'm like, oh, he's the sound of reason, voice of reason.
Yes. It's funny. All of his friends who have known him for years and years and years are all like, you're exactly the same on the show as you are off. And like, I really like that. Cause I really want, we want to be authentic and be ourselves, but it's nerve wracking a little bit having cameras around. And I was worried that Jason would get like kind of frozen or not really want to talk, but he really was himself. And I love hearing from friends that have known him for like 20 years. And they're like, you're exactly the same on and off camera. He's super nice. He's the easiest, most wonderful husband. I keep seeing comments that are like, Janet doesn't deserve you. And I'm like, I know. I know I don't deserve this man, but why would you marry someone that you didn't think, if I think I deserve you, why am I locking you down?
And what's it like though, dealing with people like that? Cause this is new for you. Is it tough to see people who maybe don't like you or don't agree with what you're doing week to week?
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, it's hard feeling misunderstood cause, you know, and I always thought anytime anybody says anything, like you only see a snippet, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that's BS. Sure. Like you're seeing the truth, but I'm like, oh no, I did say this really good piece in this thing that, and you have to really boil it down to, you know, what's important because there's so many of us and we're having so many conversations. You can't show it, the show would be 6 hours if I was editing it. So it's hard, you know, when you feel misunderstood about something, like you said something and then maybe you took it back later, but they didn't see that part or you explained it better in a different scenario. So
there been one thing so far that you're like, oh, I wish I could have clarified that, or I wish that was shown a little differently or something?
I was, you know, with the original Michelle rumor about racist, this and that, like, which I hate even saying like that word because I don't think that anybody on our show actually is racist. I don't think Michelle is racist. So, I explained it, I think, when Michelle first called me and said, Kristen thinks or said that you think I'm a racist, I was like, what? And I had never thought that before. I'd never, you know, I was like, where did this come from? I'm like, that she just plucked this out of thin air. It took me actually a little while to realize that she took this conversation I had with Michelle months ago that had nothing to do with race and that's where she had gotten that from. So people were like, why didn't you take accountability when Michelle called you? And I'm like, because I didn't know that's where this came from. I didn't know this conversation we had a month ago about like a hot political topic had nothing to do with anything racist. So
it was just a weird game of telephone.
Yeah. And I was like, so I kind of wish I would have in the moment realized where Kristen had gotten that because I would have taken more accountability for
it. So this week on the show, we saw you say in terms of Kristen, like I need to keep a distance from mm-hmm. her. So I'm curious because you knew Kristen before filming the show. Do you feel like you got a different version of Kristen when the show started?
Yes and no. I mean, I think when cameras are up, you see kind of an exaggerated version of somebody. And there's times like, yeah, for years I've been friends with Kristen. When I've needed a break from her or she's needed a break from me, we've taken it. So it's different, I guess, now this summer when cameras were in our lives, you know, when I said like, I need a break. Like for me personally, I'm not saying our entire group should ice her out or, you know, not invite her, but I'm not.
Okay, because I was going to yell at you about that.
Yeah.
I know, because I was mad about that. I think a lot of fans were like, okay, we can't. Because the shows never really work when it's like, we can't film with someone.
Yeah.
So you weren't saying, I'm not going to film with her or anything.
No.
You just say, emotionally, I might need a little break.
If Brittany was having like a party or something, invited Kristen and I would have gone. But I'm not going to be inviting her over to my house right now because everything, you know, the past couple weeks, everything that happened was people screaming at each other. And the hallway scene. Like,
oh my God, it was such a good TV.
It was great TV, but it was also like my blood pressure went up through the roof that night.
Oh yeah,
night,
and you were pregnant.
I'm pregnant, yeah. And I was like, whatever's going on out there, there's too much pushing, shoving, yelling. It's getting too close to something really bad happening.
Was Brittany shoved? I was a little confused about that.
I think when Jesse kind of like lunged, like, you know, I saw exactly what you saw. I wasn't in the hallway when it happened. Jason tried to stand up and I yanked him down, was like, we're not jumping in this one. But I think Jesse kind of like lunged himself towards, I think his goal was Luke. And then I think Zach and Brittany got kind of like
in the middle,
pummeled in the way.
What the fuck's going on with Jesse in general and specifically on the show? Like, what
you
the
know
fuck's
what?
Going on?
Jesse told me when we were like right before this that he's very calculated and he thinks about everything he says before he says it. And looking back now, because, you know, I only saw him in big group kind of settings when we were filming, I'm like, if you were planning everything you said or you were very thoughtful about all of your words, was your goal to be an asshole? Mm-hmm. I'm like, were you purposely being an asshole or do you not realize that you are an asshole?
So he probably is an asshole, but was also leaning into that for the show, right? Like maybe wanting to be a little villainous or something?
I don't think he meant to be. I think he just is and didn't know it yet, maybe. But I also, I love Jesse in a way, like, where
how dare you?
He's not my husband, you know what I mean? Like, if he was my husband, I would have killed him by now. But, like, he is charming and nice, and, like, I will say, like, you know, we had the Be the Match gala featured on the show, and Jesse posted a beautiful post for it, helped fundraise for it, donated a lot of money to it. So I'm like, he is charitable. I have to give him that.
Yeah, but you could be charitable and also be a demon, right?
Like, yeah, sure.
And maybe sometimes people are charitable so that they don't come across as, so they get a little bit better publicity. I don't know.
Sure.
But wait, so he's got a new, did you meet the new girlfriend?
I did.
So, okay,
at
so
another charity event. So Jared is fundraising for the LLS right now, and he had a drag show to help raise money. And
Jared Lips, who we love,
yes.
Your co-host on a podcast.
Love it. Love him. And so, yeah, he came with his new girlfriend. I met her briefly and just kind of stuck to charity talk. I was like, I heard you used to be on the board for the LLS. Great. Like,
I
you
heard
know.
She tried to get on Orange County Housewives.
I just saw a meme of this, which is funny because, okay, so there was a step and repeat kind of red carpet and a photographer at this event that I met her at. And, you know, they're like, okay, you and Jason, just yourself, just Jason, you and Jesse and Jason, they kind of put you in different groups. And the photographer told her to kind of come over for a shot of the four of us. And she kind of hesitated and was like, I don't know. And Jesse's like, come on, we might as well. Kind of like, eventually people are going to know we're dating. Let's kind of go public, I think, as he was like, let's get it over with kind of thing. But she seemed hesitant. So when then I saw that she potentially interviewed or auditioned or whatever, I don't know, however the process
for
is for Housewives, I was kind of surprised to see it because she did seem reluctant to kind of jump in a photo with Jesse.
See, I'm curious what'll happen because there'll be a next season, right? Like it seems like everybody's really loving the show. The ratings seem to be really good. So I'm hopeful that there'll be another season, but I'm like, what, they'll have to bring Jesse and Michelle back, but then also how does that work? And Michelle's dating someone new too. Have you met
her?
Yeah,
I have not met him, but Jason has known her boyfriend for like 6 years. When they were single, they used to go out together,
I guess. I trust Jason. What does he think of him?
He said he's a nice guy.
Okay.
And he saw him again recently. They actually all were together in the same space recently for their daughter's fourth birthday party.
Okay.
So they all got together and had cake and ice cream. Jason brought our baby over and there was just like kind of a small group, but they were all in the same room. And so he got to see Aaron is his name again for the first time in many years. And he was like, he's super nice.
No, it's not the same guy as that director that allegedly there was like this fling
with.
Right?
I think that was truly like Michelle's a hustler. She wants to sell the $50 million houses. And I think that's she saw dollar signs, not hearts.
Are you able to say who the director was?
I don't think so.
Can you give me a hint?
It scares me. Look, I probably only know three directors and I know who he is.
So it was Spielberg. Have you heard Martin Scorsese's, I think, daughter watches a lot of Bravo.
Really?
I hope I'm not making that up. Maybe Lala like said that Martin Scorsese, somebody said like Martin Scorsese watches Bravo. So now in my head, I'm like, maybe it was Martin.
You know, Rihanna this week said that she watches The Valley and I can die now. Like,
that's crazy.
I'm fine dying now.
We got to talk about Jax and Brittany.
Yes.
Now they were just at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is a crazy fucking sentence to say. But what is going on with them?
They're honestly seem to be getting along. I mean, they were just fighting like cats and dogs. To be honest, for me, the first time I noticed Brittany not defending him and like it seemed like the veil had been lifted a little bit was when he went on TV and said she had a stroke when she didn't. And I called
on
her
on an E! Show, right? Just to clarify.
Yeah, on House of Villains.
Okay.
He after he was voted off, he went home and I had taken Brittany to the hospital that day because she had been feeling numb and weak and was having some strange symptoms. And she was like, I'll just go to urgent care if you can watch Cruise. And I was like, no, we're going to go to the hospital. They ended up admitting her and they ruled out a lot of this stuff immediately, like MS, stroke, but they were testing for like serious stuff. And so she was like, let's not tell Jax yet. He hadn't been voted off. So she was like, I don't want him to leave the show if it's not something serious. Mm. And so he ended up getting, I think, voted off like hours, you know, into this thing. And so we told him, and then, you know, months and months go by. We don't know that he had gone back. We knew he had gone back to film like the finale night, but we didn't know that he had said this thing about her having a stroke. So all of a sudden it aired. It's around the holidays at this point. It airs. Brittany starts getting all these calls and texts being like, are you okay? One of which was from me. I was like, when I kind of left and Kristen and Jax came, I had been at the hospital for hours. They were there for the checkout process. And I was like, did I miss something? Did you have a stroke and like not tell me, or did I miss this? And she was like, no, I'm so fucking sick of him. I can't believe this. And I think for Brittany, she was like, people are praying for me and nothing's wrong with me physically. You know, like I'm fine. My health is great. People shouldn't be wasting their prayers on me. And I think that really like stuck with her in a weird way. But that was the first time that I kind of heard her be like, fuck Jax. Yeah. Like, and she was just like really upset with him.
Rotten heel. Of all the things, I mean, he's done so many things to her. It's like for that. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Of course, everybody has like their breaking point. Yeah. Everyone's going to snap eventually.
Yeah.
Do you think that they'll make it out of this together?
Okay, here's what I was thinking about the other day. I've been divorced. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of stuff to do. So I don't think they're going to be getting back together anytime soon, but I don't know if they're going to be going to the courthouse and filing all the papers, because it's honestly, it's like a full-time job getting divorced.
And did she change her name officially, legally? Because I heard that's a nightmare, is changing your name.
Changing your name is a nightmare. I don't know if she legally did or not. Brittany's somebody she's been using, she's going to hate me for saying this, but she's been using her passport as her ID for like 2 years because her license expired and she just like didn't go do. I'm like, she's not going to file for divorce anytime soon. You know how much paperwork you have to fill out for that?
But we
way
also,
more than the DMV.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I don't know. We all just want justice for Brittany, I think.
Yeah.
Even though I understand, I've said this before, it's like I understand that we've seen her kind of make excuses for that man and make the bed, or what, I don't know that saying, make the bed you lay in, or lie in, or whatever the fuck that is. Okay, Kristen and Luke, what do you make of their relationship from an outsider?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, okay, Luke is very different from anybody that Kristen's ever dated. You know, like, you have these over-the-top personalities, Tom Sandoval, James Kennedy, even Alex, her boyfriend before, just big personalities, very talkative people, very outgoing and kind of the star of the show. And Luke lets Kristen be the star of the show. And he kind of takes a backseat role. And I'm like, you know, if it's not working, then you're picking these same sort of personalities in the past, pick somebody new. So I am glad that he is different than everybody else she's ever dated. They seem happy. You know, our friendship hasn't been in the greatest place for a little while now. So you know, we haven't hung out with them recently, but they seem happy and, you know, like a good match. I really liked, you know, on this episode, seeing Luke kind of explain things to Kristen and kind of break it down, like why things were not going well for her, or like what you hear and what you say are different. And sometimes if you just change a single word, it really changed the meaning of things. And that I was like, yes, that's exactly like, I wish I could have said it nicer than just screaming crazy Kristen at her across a dinner table. Like that was, you know, I was like, Luke, this is exactly the way you're supposed to speak to somebody when you have an issue with them, not maybe screaming at them from.
I want you and Kristen to work it out.
I think
I love,
know,
Kristen on TV.
Never say never. And like, I love Kristen. I want to see her do well. Like, I want to see her succeed. And taking a break is like the way that we, I think, get back to a good place. Like, I'm happy where it is right now. And, you know, when I saw her for the first time at the premiere party, she and I had a nice moment where she asked to see pictures of my son. You know, she cried. She was like, he's so beautiful. We had this really nice moment. And I was like, oh, you know, I went home that night and I was like, oh, Kristen and I, you know, maybe I'll call her and see if she wants to get lunch and catch up. And then I saw the next episode and I was like, fuck Kristen again.
Oh my God.
You know, it just like happens where you're just like, ugh, like, I don't know. Watching, reliving it now is a whole different thing that I'm not used to.
I have this theory that Kristen was maybe ready to move out of LA, and then the show came about, because it almost feels like certain scenes, I think this week, when they're talking about, Luke says he doesn't want to move to LA. Mm-hmm. He wants her to move to, I think, Colorado or wherever. It just feels, as an audience member, she's saying, well, let's stick here for a little bit. Is that accurate, or am I kind of off base?
I could see them having a place in Colorado and a place here. Mm. And to be honest, I really see Kristen as being like a Colorado girly too. I think she's very LA in a lot of ways, but she is like very down to earth and like, I don't know. I feel like she has that like Colorado kind of mindset. Kristen's a little bit of a hippie. Like, she loves Stevie Nicks and playing guitar. And like, I can just kind of see her being happy in Colorado, but I also don't see her giving up LA.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about Jasmine and Zach. So we have all these couples on the show, and mm-hmm. then we have these two singles who are also around. Do you know, did you know them, or tell me a little bit about your relationship with them?
Jasmine was one of my first friends in LA, and then Zach, Jasmine, and I all, and Logan, Logan Cochran, Ariana's bestie, we all lived in the same apartment building in West Hollywood. That's so crazy. Logan and Zach and Jasmine all lived together. And then so did Lo, who's like Stassi's manager, assistant, friend. So they, the three of them lived together. Then Logan and Zach got into a huge fight. So then Logan was like, can I move in with you? So then we moved in together, but we were all in this apartment building. And also it was during COVID. So like none of us saw, we would like have game nights just in our building, but like we wouldn't see anybody else. So we all got really, really close.
And what about now?
Now I'm still very close with Jasmine. Zach and I, like maybe you'll see kind of a downturn and it's coming up, I think. Our friendship is not in the best place right now.
Okay, wait, what happened?
I don't want to get into too many details because I want people to see kind of how it plays out and not like, you know, not without my, I don't want to jump in and say too much too soon.
Okay, let's say you have to go on vacation. Who would you rather vacation with, Kristen or Zach at
probably
this moment?
Kristen, to be honest.
Okay. Okay, so you can't give me any other juice about that.
I, you know, a lot happened. And I think it also, it's not related to Kristen, I will say. Like, it's kind of all, Zach and Kristen are super, super close. So as my friendship with Kristen is kind of taking a pause, that kind of trickles into my friendship with Zach.
So would you say if you had a vacation with anyone on the cast, who would Zach be the one you would least want to vacation with out of everyone?
Probably right now.
Okay. Okay. So he gets in the mix a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So should, okay, nothing else. Okay. You're not going to tell me. Is that happening at the end of the season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll start soon and carry on, I think.
Okay.
You know,
will there be a reunion?
I hope so. I really hope so.
There has to be, right?
I think that they've looked at it, but I don't know. I haven't heard. I don't have a flight to New York yet.
Well, I'm in the Valley. We'll host it here. Like, come on.
I would love for you to host a reunion.
Let's just do it here. Come on.
That would be a lot easier.
If we have to do it on the cheap.
Right.
If Andy is busy. Only if Andy's busy.
There you go.
Then we can step in and do it here.
I would love to do a reunion, though. Yeah. I'm in if there is one. I'll say that. Because I feel like there's so much that has happened since wrapping, like just all summer, so much happened, and then so much has happened since. I really feel like we need to show what's happened and just clear everything up before we start filming another season, if we get another season, which
there will be.
I think we will.
I bet for sure there'll be a reunion because it seems like there's some messy stuff, and I've heard rumblings and stuff of things that happen later in the season that I feel like we're going to need some answers for.
It just keeps getting crazier.
I thought you guys were going to be really tame.
I thought everyone was like, there's so many. I love the videos where people were like, we didn't ask for this. We don't want this. These people are boring.
Those promos were shit, I thought. I mean, no offense. We love Bravo. But
one, I was kind of surprised that they put the one that we shot on like Wisteria Lane, that like,
yeah.
That one out first. Cause I'm like, this doesn't show very much about us. I hoped that they had put out, then once I think the main trailer got in, everyone was like, oh, maybe this won't be boring.
Yeah. Cause I think I shouldn't say it was bad. It was a good promo thing, but I just thought, since it's messy, it made it seem like there was nothing. And I think Jack's like, we got another shot at adulting or something like that. And it just
made it
felt
seem like
this can be lame and boring. But
having
then
barbecues in people's driveways, like not talking about anything or being like, yeah, how's your kid doing? Like, right. Yeah, it was not. Right.
But you guys are messy. Do you think I don't know. Are you scared about a next season, a potential season two?
Yes and no. I mean, this is the thing. Like our showrunner and executive producer, Chaz Morgan, told me, you know, I was like, what do you think makes for the best TV? But then also like for us. And he said, be yourself and be curious. And I may have taken that like too literally. As you see, I'm like, ooh, tell me what's going on in that situation, this situation, that. But I really do try to be as authentic as possible. And I feel like I have nothing to hide in that sense. Like there's nothing that I'm like, oh, about Jason and I's relationship or our family or anything. Like I can own anything I think that I've ever done or that I have. I'm worried about other people's stuff, you know, coming out or just people going through. Like I'm worried about Jackson Brittany maybe a little bit next season filming and navigating a divorce, like knowing how challenging divorces can be, and not saying that they have filed or anything yet, but navigating the separation, I should say. But like, you know, all of that, it's tough. So I'm not necessarily so worried about us as I am making the right comments about other people.
There was something you said in the confessional. I think one of the first episodes you said, I had the primary bedroom growing up from my parents. And I thought that's a good reality because it's like you're owning. Yes, that is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But you're saying, yeah, that's what happened.
The best part is my mom to this day, whenever that is brought up, she's like, it's not that you bullied me into. She goes, that bedroom was just quietest. I put you in it as a baby because it was the quietest. And I'm like, Mom, you shared a hallway bathroom with Ben, my brother. I'm like, Janet, there's no way you wanted. I'm like, I was a brat. You could say it. She's like, no, she doesn't want to admit that I bullied her into the master bedroom.
That's such an Ohio mom thing. Okay, so you're filming this season. You're pregnant. Was there concern about? I don't know how to phrase this question exactly, but all the kind of craziness we talked about that's going around, and we even see in that hallway fight where there was pushing and stuff, and these heated arguments, was there any concern during the filming about the pregnancy aspect of it?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to make sure that I was healthy. Like, that was number one. And if that was always going to come first. Like, Jason and I, you know, agreed upon that. Like, if I were to have started, you know, like, feeling like I wasn't in good health or couldn't handle it, I would have bowed out. It wouldn't have been a question at all. Yeah. But part of it also was like creating boundaries. And for me, every time Kristen and I were in the same room, or Kristen, Michelle and I, it was fireworks. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to take the matches out of this situation. And that's when I decided like I needed a break from Kristen. And like, that I had to have my stress levels be at a normal level. And every time the three of us were in a room, it ended with screaming. And I was like, I can't do this every, I was like, right. We at least need a break. We need a breather so that I'm like, clearly it's not working. If every single time it's screaming and fighting and all of this, we need like a week or two to like take a break.
Do you feel like the other cast members respected that? And were protective of you in that way?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, Jax and Brittany even were like, okay, we'll kind of see, like they would be the ones, Brittany especially, that would be the one that would try to keep the group together the most. She's like the most forgiving and peacemaker between everybody. I mean, she can tolerate Jax. She can, you know, she's like, you and Kristen are nothing. Like, this is fine. So, you know, she, I think, would have been the one to resist the most. I think in that instance, she was like, okay, Michelle has every right to want to take a break. Janet has a right to take a break. Let's just take a beat and see what happens.
Jax has said in interviews that you're like him.
Oh my God.
Do you think that you're like him?
I think he wants us to be similar.
Tell me.
I think, you know, Jax knows that I do like to gossip, but about the fun stuff. Like, I don't want to gossip about somebody's marriage that's like when there's a kid involved. Like, that part, that was like not fun for me. And I know it looks like when I was talking to Jasmine, I was like, oh, can I ask Brittany? My asking Brittany was like, can I ask Brittany if she knows that Jax is in the middle of this? Because I knew she didn't know that Jax was spreading rumors and getting involved in this. You know, it's fun when it's like, oh, like, guess who these two single people who slept together this weekend? Like, that's the fun gossip that I like to talk about. That's like not harmful. And so I think Jax knows that we're similar in that way. I think he's willing to take it a level beyond that. And in this episode, he says like, as if Janet wouldn't do this. I'm like, but I didn't do it. I didn't participate in this. I went and reversed the flow of information, came straight to Jax, whose mouth I knew this stuff was coming out of. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you, what are you? And he's like, well, I guess, you know, I shouldn't. And, you know, he was like, Janet would have done this. I'm like, but I didn't this time. So
I do appreciate you all being a little messy though.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. You gotta, like, when people are like, oh, I don't like to gossip. I'm like, well, that's going to make really boring TV then.
Okay. Talk to me about the creation of the show. Because there had, it, I think, I don't know if you could speak to this. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for asking this, but like, it seemed like there were a couple incarnations of this, or it had been trying to get off the ground for years. Can you talk to me? Were you involved in some of those early conversations, or when did it come to you?
Honestly, it was like 2 years ago, Jack started saying like, hey, they're going to make a show about our friend group in the Valley. And I had heard rumblings of this for a while. Like, I think, you know, there was a season of Vanderpump that it kind of seemed like it was going to split and, you know, maybe do a Vanderpump Valley sort of situation and then maybe have some new people at Sur that are kind of younger and still working in the restaurant. So I kind of thought that that's where the direction was. And I didn't think I would be part of either of them. And then, you know, a bunch of more time passed and Jax kept saying like, yep, they're probably going to have cameras up soon. They're probably, and we were like, and it literally became a thing. We're like, sure, Jan, like this is never happening. And then all of a sudden we got a call that was like, hey, will you, you know, talk to producers, see if this feels like something you guys are comfortable with and if it's something you want to move forward with. And we have dates that we're going to start having cameras in your lives. And again, it was like, I had just left this personal assistant job. I got pregnant and I was like, well, instead of going back and looking for another job, which I really didn't want to do, I'm like, let's take a chance with this and see where it goes. And we said, you know, we just said yes.
And Jax and nobody else on the cast is a producer on this show, right?
No, nobody. Jax's manager, Ryan, is a producer on the show, Ryan Revel, but Jax is not.
Okay, because I keep seeing, I felt like he kept saying he created the show.
I think the people...
But then like, I'm like, well, you would be a producer on it.
I think Alex Baskin would like a word with, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, I think Jax did, we should give him credit for bringing, it is his friend group and they are the hub of everybody. Like it is an authentic friend group. He knows Danny and Jesse, like, and so Michelle and Nia were kind of brought in because of the guys. I was brought in and Jason was kind of brought in because of me, but everybody has a connection to Jax and Brittany. They're kind of the hub of the group.
Okay.
So I'll give him credit for
but
that.
But is there some sort of concern that maybe his manager is a producer on the show? And
I don't know. I don't think he also manages like half of, I don't know. Yeah. Kristen too, a bunch of people.
We have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with so much more. I want to thank Acast and we'll be right back. I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit cozy.com, spelled C-O-Z-E-Y, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, C-O-Z-E-Y.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Okay, Vanderpump Rules. Are you watching this season?
Yes. I have not seen today's
the current week.
I have
episode.
Not seen the most recent.
Okay, but so what are you making of all? Let's start with like the Ariana, Lala, Sheena of it all.
Makes me really sad.
And you're close with all three of them. Right?
Okay. Yeah, I just saw Ariana a couple days ago at Jared's charity event. I'm friends with Lala and Sheena, see them all the time. It makes me really sad. I really want them to all get along. I was really hoping Vanderpump Rules this season would be like all the girls coming together and like I would get like my Spice Girls reunion moment with all of them. Like I really wanted to see them be like, all these guys are horrible. Let's just like rise above and be like hot girl summer. And then so when they started kind of getting into it like I think we're going to see more later, or, you know, these rumors of the reunion being crazy. makes me sad. I want everybody to come back together. But I think that that's kind of also like what happens in this group is people blow up and get mad at each other. And then it's like never say never with anybody. Like, I don't think this is the end of all of these friendships.
Right. I know that's the hard thing, because even with Sheena, I don't know what Sheena and Ariana are like in real time, but I thought maybe they're okay in real time.
I think so. I mean, Sheena went to Ariana's final show in New York for Chicago. So I don't think that they're like not speaking. Like,
but
I think
her and Lala aren't probably speaking.
I get the impression that Lala and Ariana's friendship is worse shape than Sheena's.
Now, going through your experience on The Valley, do you feel like, now looking back at this season of Vanderpump Rules, should Lala and Sheena have gone that route of...
I think it's hard. I know that they have their reasons for, like, they were like... Sheena, I understand a little bit more because she had this long history with Tom Sandoval. And I understand, like even though you're so mad at somebody, like, wanting to find forgiveness. And Sheena bottles things in, and she has really bad anxiety. So she will, like, cry about stuff like this. It will affect her. She doesn't just brush it off and think, like, oh, it's okay that I, like, have horrible blood with this person. It really gets to her. So I understand her needing to heal or find a place of, like, forgiveness and healing with Tom. Lala, I think it was just, she was like, we can't be, you know, not around each other. Like, we all have to be in the same room. And I think she really wanted to kind of get everybody together and talk and kind of get it over with, instead of just kind of letting it happen maybe the way it was meant to.
Or natural.
Yeah.
What about your relationship with Tom Sandoval? Do you have any relationship with him? Or are you?
No, not anymore. So yeah. Jason, I mean, I think what he did is really, really horrible. Like, especially like you said earlier, like being around them so much, and it just, and I don't get the sense that he's as sorry as he needs to be. Like, the fact that he's still fighting Ariana in this house, and just, there's a lot of stuff that's just like, be sorry, be a good person, care about karma. We did run into him at, he came to our premiere party or one of our watch parties at Jax's bar.
Isn't he always doing karaoke there?
Karaokeing there. I knew I was going to run into him eventually. I've only been a couple times, but this time I came in and I was like, oh, I'm going to have a drink. I went to the back bar where I was cornered. I put myself in a corner, and Tom Sandoval came up and he was like, hey.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, no. I was dreading this moment. And, you know, I wanted to have my Charlotte York moment and curse the day he was born. And I was just kind of stared, and I've kind of froze for a second. And he was like, hey, how's the Valley? How you liking it? You excited? And I just took a breath for a second, and I looked at him, and I go, yeah, what's the worst that could happen? And he was like, oh, yeah. And I go, yeah, I mean, Brittany could fuck Jason for 7 months behind my back, and I could find out about it on national television. And he was like, oh. And he, like, realized that I was insulting him a little bit. And he was just like, oh. And then he kind of made a weird comment. I have this theory, this conspiracy theory, that because Tom Sandoval was a very kind, awesome friend
and
for many years.
He was like
years.
That with me, too. Yeah.
And I think right around the time that Tom was opening, I think Tom Sandoval was abducted by aliens and replaced in his body, and he's been driven by aliens ever since.
Oh my God. Are you friends? You're friendly with Schwartz, I suppose.
Schwartz, I see. And yeah. I mean, I don't like what he did, but
you're like, he's
weird,
a dummy, whatever.
Yeah, I have like a soft, spot for him.
He gets away with everything.
He's so
everybody's
nice.
Got a fucking soft spot for that man.
It's unbelievable. He was like one of the only ones, you know, of people that, like, of the guys, I guess, that texted me after Watch What Happens Live and told me congrats and stuff. Like,
well, he still could be an asshole.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. Everyone feels that way. I feel like everybody feels that way about Schwartz, because he's just kind of got that puppy dog and he gets to get away with everything. And then there's always someone more villainous than him.
Yep.
So he never looks as villainous as Tom Sandoval or Jax Taylor or whoever is coming on this show next to be villainous. Ugh.
Okay. It's true. It's true.
Anything else about Shishi? You guys are close now. Did you guys have like a falling out or something?
Sheena and I had a falling out in like 2020. It was like really stupid at the time, but it was... We got pissy with each other and had a few words over text message. And instead of just being like, oh, I'll see you in like a week and we'll forget about this, like taking a break from friendships for a period of time to cool down and then coming back and having everything be fine, the world shut down. It was like in March of 2020. So it was like all of a sudden then nobody was seeing each other. Both of us were being really stubborn. So we went like almost a year without speaking. And then we saw each other at Ariana's birthday party and like immediately like crashed into each other and started bawling and hugging. And we were like, it was, you know, okay. We were like, this was a really stupid argument and time. Like we shouldn't have taken time. I really regret that time because it was when Sheena was pregnant and I missed like once I found out she was a mom, I had reached out to her too, but you know, I missed a really important time of life and our friendship, I think will be there forever. Sheena's like family to me now. So I think back to that time and I get really sad that I missed it.
You know, I feel like I always get defensive of Shishi on this show too. And people yell at me all the time. They're like, how dare you, Danny? You know, people get mad about it. But I always feel like with Sheena, even when she's led astray and does something crazy that I don't agree with watching as a viewer, I just never feel like she's got a malicious heart.
No.
Like I always just feel like she might be being stupid in the moment or doing something dumb or horrible mm-hmm. or whatever. But I don't ever feel like it's coming from that evil place.
No, Sheena has a huge heart. She always means well. Every once in a while, she has like kind of a diva moment where yeah. I'm like, oh, that is so Sheena. That she's like, oh, switch me sides. This is my good side. I'm like, well, what if that was my good side I wanted? You know, it's just she has these things. But if you just kind of accept Sheena for who she is and love her for it, then you're golden.
Is there anyone from that cast that you would like to come over to the Valley? Now, I'm not someone who believes any of them will be coming over because they got a hit show. You guys got a hit show. Contracts would have to be completely started fresh. So I don't think that it would work that way, but is there anyone you would
want? I would happily, anybody but the worm, really. Like, I would happily have everybody. I mean, Sheena and Lala just bought gorgeous houses, like, right down the street from each other in the Valley. So it would be awesome to see kind of their home life a little bit more, or like, I don't know, just their life since moving to the Valley. I would say Ariana, too, but I feel like she's booked and busy and, you know, all of that. But I would love to see everybody. I don't know if it'll happen or not. We'll see.
I like doing all these little sprinkling the crossovers in. My sort of fantasy is that next season on both shows, you'll all maybe take like a vacation together.
I would love that.
And then I would love to see sort of like on one show you get, you know, seeing the side from the Vanderpump people, on the other show you see the Valley people, kind of like how they've done on Beverly Hills and Vanderpump when they've done those crossovers.
Be like the Jetsons meet the Flintstones.
I would love it. Okay, Jana, anything messy you could tell me about the rest of the season before I let you go?
You know, it started messy and it keeps getting messy. I kind of thought, I was like, all right, we got the mess over with this summer. Like, I was like, it started hot and, you know, now we can relax. And there was no relaxing. It's going to get messy. I think you're going to see, you know, we know where Jackson, Brittany, and Jesse and Michelle end up, but I think you're going to see more of that that's going to make sense and just a lot more of everybody else. You're going to see fights in the relationships. I think people, you know, people love Nia and Danny. People love Jason and I. Well, maybe Jason more than me right now. But I think you're going to see like all the couples kind of have a moment. And, you know, it's what is real life. So I think you'll see kind of little bits and pieces of that. Some friendships come together and some falling apart.
Danny and Nia seem nice.
They're super nice.
I mean,
nice.
I don't really have much to ask about them because they're kind of doing their own thing, but I like them.
They're super nice, yeah.
And so you can't tell me anything about the Zach situation? What do you think of the hair?
I think it's wild that I was like, oh, he has really thick, he's got a mop, you know, he's got really thick hair. I never assumed that it would be as big as it is. Like, people are really.
I know. I saw the only reason I'm asking about it is because I did see he posted a TikTok. So I felt like,
he's
okay, we can
fun
talk
of himself.
About it, right?
It's funny. There was a time, and I don't know when it was this summer, if there were even a camera on us, but there was a time where I was like, can I just get a little tug of that? Like, and I tugged on his hair a little bit because I was like, are you sure it is? I was like, is it a wig? And it's real. And I would tell you right now if it wasn't.
Yeah, you would tell me. Okay. Jana, I love you. Anything else you want to plug? I know you have a podcast with Jared.
Yeah, it's called This Side of the Hill. It airs on Wednesdays everywhere you digest podcasts.
And there's this whole ecosystem of the podcast too. So I feel like we have to, we listen to them and then it's like, someone's shady on that one, then they're shady on this one. And it's like a lot to take in.
Yeah. Kristen this week said on her podcast, she was like, Janet, Michelle, if you're listening to this. And then she gave a whole thing about not icing her out and how it's only going to make her more relevant. And I'm like, Of course. If
She's
you
right
say,
about that. She was right.
Janet and Michelle, if you are listening, it's going to get to us. So it got to us. So then I gave her kind of a carrier pigeon message back on our podcast. So you'll
I agree with Kristen,
message.
Though. Whenever, I mean, on the shows, just as a viewer, whenever somebody's trying to be
too.
Iced out, it does kind of not work. It works in the
too.
Other person's favor.
And I don't think, and I my intention was never to say, nobody invite her anywhere. I was just like, you know what? I need a breather. And she probably needs a breather for me. Like, I can tell she doesn't like me that much right now either.
Janet, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Everybody find you on social media. What's your handle?
Janet Elizabeth with an X on the end because some old lady has Janet Elizabeth and won't give me it.
Janet Elizabeth X. You can find me at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you so much for listening to Everything Iconic. I love you all. We'll be back next week with recaps of Vanderpump Rules and The Valley. Thank you so much.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks, Janet.
Thanks. This is so fun.